Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Well, good Monday morning on this February 16th. It's Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for my dear sister in Christ this morning, Teresa Tomeo. We were just together. I'm coming off a cold, coming off the Good News Cruise, which was fabulous. But I'm also coming off the boat with a cold. That's not fun. That's not fun when you got to do live radio. Fabulous, fabulous cruise. I don't even know how to put it into words. But I'm going to try for all of you because I'm going to share in my coach's commentary my experience with the Good News Cruise. And T and I, if you were listening, I joined Teresa Tomeo for Catholic Connection one morning on the cruise. She joined me for my two talks. I joined her for a couple of her talks, including a T's time with T. We had tea, and I got to talk about tea in the Middle East, the Chaldean way of drinking tea with cardamom and cinnamon. I actually have a recipe in a cookbook called Mama Sima, where Chaldean women from Michigan put together a cookbook of family recipes that have been passed down generation to generation to generation. And growing up, I was always known as the tea girl. My aunts would call me the chai girl. And chai in Chaldean and Aramaic is tea. I got to join Teresa for her presentation on the Good News Cruise on drinking tea with tea. We had so much fun. I had a great time. She talked about the Italian culture. I talked about the Chaldean culture. And then I joined her for a couple other talks. She joined me for my talk on the job with Jesus because she's in my book. On the Job with Jesus is coming out by Marian Press this year. But the cruise was incredible. Honestly, I'm going to do my best to recap it for you. It was my first cruise that I attended, and I met so many amazing couples who had been there like 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Talking to them was my favorite part. I loved talking to the couples who got to experience the cruise in different ways. So they went from being on a huge cruise ship where they were just part of the cruise. They were like 1,200 people in a cruise ship of 6,000. Well, this last cruise on Holland America, we were the entire cruise ship. It was the entire Catholic cruise ship. And that, from my understanding, was a completely different experience. Now, this was my first Good News Cruise. Corporate Travel does an impeccable job. Honestly, this is a stellar company. The logistics that go into this cruise is unbelievable. I sat and watched John Hall and David DeFranco explain it to the cruisers in one of the sessions in a Q&A. And I knew there was a lot that went to it. Just being a business owner myself, growing up, you know, in an entrepreneurial family, I understand logistical things. Working in government where we had to put on events, I understand the logistics behind things, but the logistics behind this are incredible, just incredible. And how they were able to pull this off, what seemed to be seamless on our end, on the attendees end, on the cruisers end, you know, we did not know what was going on behind the scenes, but they ran this like it was completely seamless. And it was so amazing to watch how they did this. And then you're dealing with so many amazing top-notch types of celebrities. I mean, Andre Bocelli and Matt Maher and Jonathan Rumi and Father Mike Schmitz, and accommodating all these different presenters that were part of the experience. There's so much that goes into this. And so they did an incredible job. Everybody was so joyful. It was so beautiful. And I'll talk a lot about that in my coach's commentary. But it is 4 minutes past the hour, and I want to share with you, Matt Swaim's going to be with us, Journey Home Highlights, and Matt Paoli, Vice President of Marketing for Real Life Catholic, will talk about the Lenten Phone Fasting Challenge. And then Gail Buckley will be with us this hour for the Scripture Verse of the Week. But right now, it is 4 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection and time for the news on EWTN. After weeks of dry, warm weather, California is preparing for a barrage of storms. Michael Kastner has that story.
From Redding to Los Angeles, the West Coast will see rain and snow, creating dangerous travel conditions and a high possibility of flooding. The Sierra is expected to get several feet of snow through Thursday, while multiple inches of rain will fall in Southern California. Three different storm cells are expected to roll through the state. The second batch will roll into the Pacific Northwest by Monday night, and a third round is expected Thursday, focusing more on the southern half of the state. In Los Angeles, I'm Michael Kastner.
Senate Democrats have rejected a House-passed bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security. Michael Kastner continues with that report.
The motion failed to advance by a vote of 52-47 on Thursday. Democrats blocked the motion, saying it didn't go far enough to reform immigration enforcement operations after the fatal shootings of two protesters in Minneapolis last month by federal agents. Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar.
I'm glad that there's negotiations going on, but at this point for me, this idea that we're going to continue to fund them at this level after what they've done to my state, that's not in the cards for me.
I'm Michael Kastner.
Federal government are shut down for the week as Congress takes a 10-day recess, and travelers could soon feel it at airport security checkpoints. TSA union leader for agents in Northern California, Andrew Cardosa, says it's not right that they are expected to work without pay once again just months after the last shutdown.
People's lives and livelihoods are being played with here. People are just feeling defeated. I mean, this is not something that we should even have to face, you know, especially because ultimately, you know, this has nothing to do with us.
Funding the Department of Homeland Security was allowed to expire early Saturday over dispute tied to immigration enforcement restrictions. Agencies under the DHS umbrella add up to about 13% of all civilian federal employees. Disaster relief funding could also be affected. Andrew Cardosa, who also works at the Oakland airport, says many TSA agents are still recovering financially from the last shutdown, and he's worried about how long they can keep showing up this time.
For me, eventually, it's going to come down to, do I put gas in the car to go to work for free, or do I put food on the table with that money for my kids? And I know which one I'm going to pick. It's going to be the kids.
Ave Maria University, a Catholic liberal arts university in Florida, is opening a new campus at a former monastery in rural Ireland, according to an announcement on its website. The new campus will be in County Waterford in the southern region of Ireland at the former monastery of Mount Mallory near Capricorn. The university announced in a video. The abbey closed in January 2025 after almost two centuries. The video announcement pledged that the new campus would be a fully integrated Ave Maria University experience now embedded in the rich Catholic and cultural heritage of Europe. EWTN News reports that Bonnie Ekstrom, the mother whose son was healed through the intercession of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, says she laughed out loud with joy when she learned Sheen's beatification is moving forward. The Diocese of Peoria announced that on February 9th, the Holy See informed Bishop Luis Tilca that Sheen's cause may now proceed. The approved miracle involved Ekstrom's son, James Fulton, who was stillborn on September 16, 2010, after a healthy pregnancy. Ekstrom says she called on Sheen repeatedly as doctors worked to revive the baby. James had no pulse for more than 60 minutes until, just as medical staff prepared to declare death, his heart began beating on its own. James is now a high school freshman and doing great, his mom told EWTN in an EWTN News in depth. Early scans showed severe brain damage, but followed-up imaging was completely clear. After years of delay, Ekstrom says the family is so excited to see Sheen's beatification back on track, calling it an honor and a joyful thing. The UK is considering a ban on social media for children under 16 as it works to crack down on harmful content. Rowan Ferguson of the Molly Rose Foundation, which focuses on suicide prevention, believes current law doesn't go far enough to protect kids.
The Online Safety Act is a landmark piece of legislation. And it remains, you know, an excellent foundation for protecting our children. But unfortunately, it's just not working as intended.
Britain's 2023 Online Safety Act is viewed as one of the strictest internet safety laws in the world, but it doesn't cover one-on-one interaction with AI chatbots. A new law could close that loophole. The UK isn't alone in looking to strengthen online protections for young people. Australia has become the first country in the world to ban social media for children under 16. Greece, Spain, and Slovenia are looking at similar legislation. Ferguson says current law doesn't go far enough to protect kids and teens.
Our view is that the implementation of the act is unambitious. It's sort of stacked in favor of industry, of big tech, rather than the needs of children.
He believes that the Online Safety Act doesn't push platforms to do more to protect children.
There are quick legislative amendments we can make to address those constraints and make it much more powerful. And then further down the line, we can introduce new legislation that completely transforms the power of the act as well.
Meanwhile, New York City's super speeders are racking up millions of dollars in speed camera tickets, Natalie Migliori reports.
Transportation Alternatives and Families for Safe Streets have taken a look at the data, which shows these so-called super speeders owe a total of $10 million in fines. The report shows 52% of violators drive luxury vehicles, with a 2022 BMW X5 already paying more than $70,000 in violations, while a 2024 Mercedes-Benz that's still on the road owes more than $93,000. However, the average super speeder has paid off more than $4,800 in fines. I'm Natalie Migliori, NBC News Radio.
Wow. Today is President's Day, a day set aside to honor past presidents with parades, attend historical events, and, of course, go shopping.
The National Retail Federation says President's Day is a top-tier holiday for specific high-ticket household items with Black Friday-type savings. They say look for deals on mattresses, furniture, appliances, and winter wear. The NRF says this is a consumer-driven event to boost sales and make room for spring merchandise, with the main reference to presidents in the seven pictured on our cash. I'm Bree Tennis.
A Pokemon card has set the world record for the most expensive trading card ever sold at auction today, going under the hammer at $16.5 million. The Pikachu Illustrator card was one of around 40 made back in 1998 for a contest. It's the only one graded A10, the highest condition rating, and also set a Guinness World Record when influencer and professional wrestler Logan Paul bought it 5 years ago for $5.2 million. Paul is expected to clear more than $8 million in profit after fees for auction house Golden. The card was sold inside a custom diamond encrusted necklace Paul wore and a part of his outfit for WrestleMania 38. Autonomous trucks are going the distance. Aurora Innovation announced this week that its line of driverless trucks can now travel a nonstop 1,000-mile route from Fort Worth, Texas to Phoenix, Arizona. The company says it takes about 15 hours to complete the trip, noting that exceeds federal regulations for human drivers. They're allowed to drive 11 hours within a 14-hour period. Aurora says they expect to have over 200 driverless trucks on the road by the end of the year. A Wall Street is opening lower after a key inflation report. The Labor Department reported the consumer price index rose 2.4% on an annual basis. The slightly cooler than expected readings comes as a relief for investors after Thursday's sell-off. At the opening bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost about 100 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were also lower. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, Matt Swaim will be with us from EWTN. It's a Monday, and that means Matt Swaim is here at Catholic Connection, joining us here as he always joins Teresa, Director of Outreach with A Journey Home and a co-host of the Sunrise Morning Show, joining us to talk about Grant Adams, tonight's guest on The Journey Home. Matt, how are you this morning on a Monday?
Vanessa, how are you?
I'm just, you know, getting through a cold, but I'm good. I hope I don't sound too stuffed up here. But
you sound like you came in strong, and you're not going to let anything stop you today.
God, thank God, right? Yeah, came off the wonderful Good News cruise and back in my regular routine. Well, kind of regular, you know, filling in for tea here this morning. But everything's great. So looking forward to hearing this story. I love these journey home stories. It just really kind of affirms, you know, our faith when we hear these wonderful stories and what we can learn from these people who come back or, you know, convert to Catholicism. So tell us about Grant Adams.
Oh, see, I am so excited that we get to share Grant's story. I've known Grant for several years now, actually. I met him when he was still a youth pastor trying to figure out what in the world he was supposed to do with these feelings he was having about Catholicism and got a chance to correspond with him a little bit through the Coming Home Network. He's one of our guys. We refer to people like Grant as primaries. That's anybody we work with who could lose their job if they become Catholic. So they're, you know, kind of the main focus of our work. And usually what we do, Vanessa, is when someone comes into the church, I have a hard and fast rule that I don't put you on the journey home until you've been in the church at least 2 years. So I was waiting until basically 2 years and one day to get Grant an invite out there because he's just such a great guy, man. He's a on fire youth pastor, came from a Baptist and Assemblies of God background. While he was in Bible college studying for ministry, he first encountered the church fathers. But, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to know encountering the church fathers isn't an automatic ticket into the Catholic Church, especially if you've never thought about Catholicism in your life and you don't connect what you are learning with the Catholic Church because you're from like someplace like the Bible Belt and you've never met a Catholic. What you're finding is just like this complete foreign, weird thing that is intriguing and fascinating. And you're like, wow, why doesn't anybody do this stuff anymore? And you think that nobody does this stuff anymore because you don't know any Catholics.
Yeah. What's the thought process, Matt, of the 2 years?
Okay, so the 2 year process is, especially for somebody who's in ministry, you're so used to being in the front and telling everybody what to think about religion, and you just had your entire world blown up, and you need a little time to settle. And plus, and this is really important because of the example that I tend to use, you can know a lot of facts about Catholicism, but you can't really know about Catholicism until you failed at Lent at least once. Like there's certain things that you don't know about being Catholic until you have really kind of let the liturgy sink into your bones. And this, I think, is something that Catholics don't realize. Cradle Catholics, you know more from an experiential sense about Catholicism in your body, right? In your sort of soul, in your kind of like identity, even if you don't know like the facts and how to explain it.
Sure.
So you've got all these people who know the facts and how to explain it, but don't have that experience that a cradle Catholic has of just letting the liturgy just soak into every part of them. And you need a little time to have that happen.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking about Grant Adams tonight, guest on The Journey Home. Could you kind of give us a little bit of what that, you know, moment was for him where he realized, you know, the Catholic faith is the true faith and that's where I belong?
Yeah, so Grant's got a few different kinds of moments, and it's without spoiling them too much, I will say that there were some things that overlapped with the Eucharistic revival, some things that were kind of happening in his life, and as he was sort of dipping his toes in the water of Catholicism, he'd have sort of like this Eucharistic epiphany, and he'd look over and he'd realize, oh, it's the Feast of Corpus Christi today.
Oh.
Or he had another one and be like, oh, they just announced this Eucharistic revival for the entire Catholic Church. And he saw kind of like these touch points that were affirming some of the things that he was beginning to realize about the reality of Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist. And there's some really kind of cool stories that go along with how those sort of lined up with things that were actually happening and being emphasized by the Catholic Church. I actually got to meet Grant at the Eucharistic Revival when the Congress that they had in Indianapolis. Grant drove up from Georgia. He's like, I can't miss this. This is too important in my own journey to not make it to the Eucharistic Congress.
So Epiphany moments are near and dear to my heart, you know, as the host of Epiphany. And
yes,
my last name in Aramaic means Epiphany. And so Eucharistic Epiphanies are even more near and dear to my heart. You know, those moments where people see the Lord really shining truth on their life. One of the things that I love about the journey home, too, like I said earlier, Matt, not only does it affirm, you know, our faith as Catholics, but then you know, converts will share things or experience things that we kind of take for granted, or we forget, or we didn't even learn growing up. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? And it's like you could have an epiphany moment through somebody else's conversion story.
Or what happens so often with the journey home is, I knew that, but I never heard anybody say that out loud before.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Where, you know, something that is so kind of intrinsic to your experience as a Catholic that sure. It's normal to you, and you don't realize that to an outsider, that's a completely strange thing. You know, so for instance, one that I always like to talk about is that we're so utterly used to the image of Jesus and the Sacred Heart that we don't realize that to a Protestant person walking into your church, they're like, why is that statue of Jesus have his heart on the outside of his body?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These things are so normal to us that we sort of have to have sometimes someone who's from the outside to show us what we have, you know, kind of already, you know, become accustomed to. It gives us fresh eyes.
Yeah. You know? Even, you know, the devotion to Mary. You know, I've heard so many converts explain the devotion to Mary better than Catholics. When Protestants say, you worship Mary, a lot of Catholics will stumble. But yeah. Then those who convert to the faith, they explain it. And I'm like, yeah, we're not worshiping her. You know what I mean? and so those are the things. That the Mother Mary, our devotion to Mother Mary, I've seen converts explain it so much better than Catholics.
Well, and I think, too, with that one, we've gotten a lot better at that, because that's one of those squeaky wheels. That's one that comes up so often. I think the fun ones really are the more sort of subtle and little ones. I had a guy who just joined our OCI class at my parish yesterday, and yesterday was his first time ever going to Mass. I was like, yeah, he's like, where do I sit? I was like, come sit next to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're walking through the Mass with someone and pointing to things and watching them try and figure out how to make the cross on their forehead and their lips and their chest, that you and I are automatic on.
Yeah,
and then you explain it's because the word is supposed to be in your mind, on your lips, in your heart.
Yeah,
it gives you an opportunity to like be like, oh, this automatic thing to me is brand new. It's like an amazing discovery to this other person, and what a beautiful thing that is. Especially because, Vanessa, we're in the home stretch right now. This is the time. Ash Wednesday is the moment where everybody who is preparing to enter the church at Easter is suddenly getting the reality check that this is going to be real.
Yeah.
You know, and what a cool opportunity for us to walk with those people and pray with them, because they're just weeks away from full communion with the church.
And that's what I love about, too, Matt, sorry about Journey Home, but this could be part of our Lenten journey, you know what I mean? And watch a conversion story and see where, you know, how it resonates with your own story, your own journey, right? Whether you are converted or not, born and raised, cradle Catholic, we can learn from each other. We've about a minute left with you, Matt. What else do you want to share with our listeners, and how do we watch Grant Adams' story?
Yeah, well, The Journey Home airs 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN television, but also simulcast on most of these EWTN radio affiliates. You can catch it afterwards on demand on EWTN and on their YouTube channel. And at chnetwork.org, you can actually go and watch all Journey Home episodes going all the way back to 1997 if you have about 200 or 300 spare hours to spare this weekend.
And 30 seconds, what's your favorite part about Journey Home?
That it's still going.
Yeah, like, amen.
There is no end to this stuff, Vanessa.
Yeah. No,
God
there isn't.
Is always working.
Yeah, and you know what I find, too? I'll talk about this with you at another time, but how many former Protestant pastors who convert, and I just find that most fascinating, their stories, you know? But that's a whole conversation.
And Grant's one of them, right? He was a youth pastor, had to quit his
job. Yeah, you're right,
He's one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, and they always seem to know scripture really, really well.
Yeah, they
you
have
know,
to.
And then they combine that with the Catholic faith. It's so beautiful.
You're going to love him, man. Grant's a great guy.
Can't wait to watch it. Matt Swaim, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection.
Have a great day, Vanessa.
You too. God bless you. Coming up next is Matt Paglioli is going to be with us. I hope I'm saying that right. Vice President of Marketing for Real Life Catholic. Don't go away. So, have you thought about what you're going to do for Lent? You might consider a Real Life Catholic's Lenten Phone Fast Challenge. And that's what we're talking about here today with the Vice President of Marketing for Real Life Catholic. Matt Paolelli is with us here on Catholic Connection. Matt, welcome to Catholic Connection. And we're about to start Lent, and this might be just the thing that people listening need to do.
Yes, hi, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about, first, give us an overview of Real Life Catholic. Tell us about Real Life Catholic, and we'll go into the Lenten Phone Fast Challenge.
Sure. So Real Life Catholic is Chris Stefanik's nonprofit ministry. And basically, our mission is simple. We exist to share the love of Jesus and help others to do the same. And so, Chris, I'm sure listeners and viewers of EWTN are very familiar with Chris Stefanik. But he does a great job of just connecting the truth of the faith to everyday life. So he's the kind of a content machine, and he produces a lot of content that lets the gospel meet you in the mess of your life and find the life of joy that God intended for you. So we do a Daily Anchor newsletter that he does every day. We have the Chris Stefanik Show that's on EWTN and our YouTube channel. He does reboot events at parishes across the country, does Sunday gospel reflections, and he has a lot of content on Hallow too. So, we just are putting stuff out there that we hope will draw people closer to Christ.
Yep, I'm a huge fan of Chris Stefanik. We talked about it when you were on my show, Epiphany, and I can't wait to have him on as well. He's wonderful, and I read his newsletter daily. And so this is a wonderful challenge as we head into the Lenten season. So tell us about this Real Life Catholics Lenten Phone Fast Challenge.
Sure. So I don't know about you, but I definitely spend way too much time with my phone. And there's studies that show that 57% of people identify as addicted to their phones. And I know that's probably just the people that are willing to identify that way. So I'm sure there's a lot more.
Sure.
But it really just becomes a barrier to a lot of things, to our relationships, especially to our spiritual life, and especially to our prayer time. So we thought it'd be great this Lent to offer up our Lenten sacrifice, our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving toward the next generation of the faith through this Catholic or through this Lenten phone fast. And the real impetus for this is that we're also working on a project called CORE, which is a confirmation prep experience that's it's being produced right now and being written by Chris. And it's going to really speak into the concerns of the day for the next generation and, all of the issues they have with mental health and anxiety and phone use being right in the middle of that. So Phone Fast is a way to kind of be in solidarity with them and offer our Lenten sacrifice for the spiritual renewal of the next generation.
You know, man, there's so much research that's out there that shows a direct correlation to depression and anxiety as it relates to social media in particular and our smartphones. And so is that going to be part of the discussion with CORE? Is that going to be brought to the attention of people participating in CORE?
Yeah, so CORE will be the first confirmation prep experience that really was created since the dawn of the smartphone being in young people's hands. You mentioned all those stats, and there's something like a 6% increase in teen depression that started right around 2010 when everybody was in that Generation Z was getting phones and having them glued to their hands. So this CORE program is going to really just kind of present the faith in a way that's attractive to them and in a format that they'll understand and hopefully really engage with.
Okay, so let's go through the Lenten challenge. What does this entail, and how do I sign up to do this?
Sure. So if you visit reallifecatholic.com/Lent, you'll see all the details there. But basically, like I said, it correlates with the three pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So the fast is to choose a concrete phone fast for during Lent. And again, we don't expect anybody to get rid of their phone for Lent. I don't think that'd be possible in this modern age that we live in. But we have a couple of ideas for ways to just limit your use and for it to be a real sacrifice. The first is you could put it away after 6 p.m. every day, which would allow you to make more focused time for family, prayer, silence, or reading scripture. You could also choose one day a week, maybe Sunday would be an ideal day, to be completely phone-free or as phone-free as possible. So, you know, use your phone for communication, but not for scrolling or gaming or social media. Then another more drastic one would be you could delete all the social media apps from your phone. So if you're up for a real challenge, you could try that. Or if you want something that's a little more accessible, maybe just change your phone to grayscale mode, which studies have shown makes it less enticing and you're less likely to keep picking it up if it's in grayscale. Or you could suggest your own. So that's the sacrifice fasting aspect. And then prayer, we're just hoping that you'll join us in daily prayer for the next generation, maybe praying a decade of the rosary. And we'll send out a weekly prayer reminder to get everybody motivated to do that. And then lastly is almsgiving, and we're hoping that people will consider supporting the CORE project. We're trying to raise $2.1 million. We have about $1.5 million raised right now. So we're getting closer, but obviously production costs are expensive, and we really want to do this in a quality that that honors the teens that are going to be using this program.
Okay, can you explain for people, you were on, I remember a lot of people said, well, what's the grayscale? They don't know what that is. Can you kind of explain that?
Sure. Yeah, you just go to your settings in your phone, and there's actually a grayscale mode on Android and iPhone where everything on your phone becomes black and white. It's like the beginning of Wizard of Oz. Yeah, so then everything, it just doesn't look as attractive. So when you're scrolling through social media, all the photos and videos are in black and white. Everything's black and white. So it just makes it less attractive.
Great. And so what prompted your Chris Stefanik and the team here to want to do this type of Lenten challenge? What, you know, when did you realize, like, this is what we really need to do this Lenten season?
Yeah. Well, like I said, our ministry exists to kind of speak the faith into everyday life. And the phone is such an essential part of our lives now, like it or not, you know, for good and ill. And so it just seemed like an ideal way to kind of connect some fasting and prayer and almsgiving to something that everybody has and that everybody's using every day. And to put a sacrificial limit on that. And then also, like I said, the connection was kind of perfect for this CORE confirmation program, because that's the other thing, is that the teens, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, that were really born into this and use their phones so much, they're hearing all these voices from society, from social media, that are giving them the wrong answers to all the questions that they're asking. And we know that the Catholic faith has the right answers and will lead them to that life of joy if they devote their lives to Christ. So, this fast is, again, for their spiritual renewal and their spiritual protection. And the CORE project is to show them that path back to Christ and to kind of have the right voice going up alongside all these other voices that they're hearing.
Yeah. And do you plan, we have about a minute left before we have to take a break, Matt, but does the team at Real Life Catholic plan to track the fruits of this Lenten challenge in some way?
Yeah, well, we have about 1,300 people signed up right now. And like I said, we're going to have, it's really been a good response, especially the last few days. So I think as we're getting closer to Lent, people are realizing they want to pick something, and they're seeing this and really it's resonating with them. So yes, we'll be communicating via email with them. And we usually get a lot of feedback from people through email. So I'm looking forward to hearing about people's experience.
And are you and your family doing, like, I want to do this with my family. What do you think of doing this with your children, like parents and children, the whole family doing this together?
Yeah, for sure. My children aren't old enough to have smartphones yet, but
okay.
I'm definitely too addicted. So I'm planning to do the put away my phone after 6 p.m. every day.
Yeah, I just think this is wonderful. And I'm just thinking of, like, all the families with teenagers, you know, and having family discussions around this. And maybe I love the whole idea is turning off the phone after 6 o'clock, like having dinner as a family, no electronics, and maybe do board games, you know, old fashioned like games, you know, or just kind of fun family games together. We've got to take a break. We're continuing our conversation with Matt Paolelli here today, Vice President of Marketing of Real Life Catholic. We're talking about the phone Lenten challenge with the Real Life Catholic and Chris Stefanik's team. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. We've been talking about the Real Life Catholic's Lenten phone fast challenge with the Vice President of Marketing. And Matt, I was just thinking, you know, a lot of teenagers will, like, kick and scream if you tell them you're taking away their phone. But when you do, the reaction is, wow, that I can't believe what peace that brought me. I remember when we sent our daughter away to camp, they couldn't have any cell phones. It was a Christian camp. They couldn't have any phones with them. And her and her friends were all upset about it. But when they came back, she goes, Mom, that was so peaceful. And I you know, how lucky are you to have grown up without a phone? Can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think there's actually a book called The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, and it's a secular book, but you know, it's speaking directly to that, about all these stats we're talking about, and he outlines all these methods for kind of reclaiming childhood and reclaiming a smartphone-free childhood. But I've seen him on talk shows and podcasts, and he says that young people will come up to him and thank him for the work he's doing, because they actually regret the fact that their lives are you know, revolve around this device. And they're happy to have the break. I think it adds so much pressure. You know, there's a stat that teams check their phone 150 times, more than 150 times per day. And they feel this, this pressure to respond to text immediately when they receive them. So, aside from all of the mental health issues and, you know, all the messages that they're receiving, from this, I think it just gives them a break when they don't have their phone. So,
yeah. Yeah. And they don't realize they need the break until they take the break, you know? So they're all upset about it. And then once they do, they're like, wow, that was just amazing. And you know, we know that, in order to really hear God's voice, we must have the silence. And cell phones create so much noise in our lives that we can't even think straight anymore, Matt. Yeah, us as adults too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, I think I was saying, you know, I'm going to put away my phone after 6 p.m. And we bought this thing that we call a phone jail. It's basically a box that sits in our living room, and it doesn't really lock, but you could put your phone in there. And so on the evenings when I've done that, I just feel so much more present to my wife, to my kids. You know, it's really convicting when your own child is talking to you and they're like, "Daddy, are you listening to me?" Because you just keep looking at your phone. So,
yeah,
I think that's what I'm looking forward to personally for the phone fast, is just really committing to having that quality time. And then obviously, hopefully spending more time in prayer or reading the Bible or doing some more spiritual reading, and just getting myself off of this. And I'm sure other people feel the same way.
Yeah. You know, it'd be kind of cool if people listening, they do this not only as a family, but as communities, right? Like a school group, you know, a middle school, or, you know, like the Catholic schools get involved in this too. If you're thinking of what to present to your students, this is a great opportunity to say, let's do this phone challenge as a class together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you looking forward to yourself? I know you said you're participating, but what are you looking forward to yourself in terms of this challenge yourself?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what kind of fruits it will bear. Like I said, our followers tend to reply to our emails and things, so I'm excited to hear even just other ideas from people of what they do to be more phone-free, or how they're embracing the challenge themselves. I think we'll probably get some good ideas that we can share from others. And just, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think this is going to be a great way for adults to reclaim their interior freedom and also to offer this spiritual sacrifice. Maybe we won't see the fruits of that, but I think, you know, I firmly believe that the spiritual sacrifices have real results. And I think that, you know, it's going to have a great impact on the next generation to have more than 1,000 people praying for today's teens.
Yeah. And so can we go back and talk a little bit more before we let you go on CORE and when that's going to start? Like, how can people follow that and what that entails more?
Yeah. So if you sign up for the fast, we'll definitely keep in touch with you about that. But you can also learn more about CORE at reallifecatholic.com/confirmation. And so, like I said, it's a confirmation prep experience that's going to be designed for today's teens, for Gen Z and for Gen Alpha as they get older and move into confirmation season. But Chris Stefanik is writing it right now with Dr. Bob Rice from Franciscan University. We're partnering with Franciscan University of Steubenville and Hallow.
Sure.
So it's going to be a video series, and then there'll be a leader guide and participant workbooks. And the videos are all going to be free on Hallow. So you'll access them for free through the Hallow app and the Hallow website. So we're excited to get that out through Hallow's vast network. And then there will also be just a regular teen version. So if your children were confirmed earlier or something like that, or they're already confirmed, we're going to make it available for just youth groups and teen groups to use as supplemental material.
You know, and I love the partnership. I'm a big advocate of collaboration, right? And working with other people and the work that we're doing. We can't do this alone. And collaborating with Hallow, how has that been fruitful for your team?
Yeah, it's been great. Chris has some content on there, Daily Men's Devotional, and he's been a part of some of their series. And so a lot of people have reached out about how great that content has been for them. And it's led them to our content. Like you said, we live in a really blessed time. You know, we're talking about getting rid of your phone. But on the flip side, the phone allows us right now access to so many of these great Catholic evangelists that are putting content out there to combat all the secular messaging. And so, I always think about that we live in such a blessed time to have people like Chris Stefanik and Father Mike and Bishop Barron and all these people, everything that's happened at NEWTN, that these messages are available and they're right there alongside all the bad stuff too.
Wow. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go? Any last words?
I just hope that more people will participate. I'd love to get up to 2,000 or so, or even more, by the time we get to Ash Wednesday in a couple days here. So visit reallifecatholic.com/Lent and take your phone fast, commit to prayer, and then try to support CORE if you can.
So I also encourage people to share this on your social media. I just put it up on mine, Matt, on my communications evangelist, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, public Facebook page. Share it there. Push this out.
Great.
Share it with your friends and family. I think this is so wonderful. I'd like to see thousands of people, schools all across America, Catholic schools especially, really promoting this. We really need to clear our minds, really focus on Christ, and we know that the smartphones create so much noise, and so we need to step away from this. So let's push this out everywhere. And Matt, I want to bring you back on my show at some point and get a report on how it went. We got to let you go. Matt, thank you so much. And joining us now, Gail Buckley-Berringer with Scripture Verse of the Week. Gail, God bless you. How are you doing today?
Great, Vanessa. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure. So tell us about the Scripture Verse that we can meditate on as we head into the Lenten season.
Yes. Now, today I don't have one so especially connected to Lent, but it's a good one. It's from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, "The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." So, you know, the lawless one, you know, that St. Paul is referring to, is the Antichrist. And some people think that the Antichrist is Satan, but no, you know, I think you and I both know, Vanessa, that the Antichrist is someone that works for Satan, or rather, you know, someone who is used by Satan. And that someone might appear to be a good person, you know, but if one is in sin and they're not a believer in Christ, or even, you know, they say they're Christian, but they're not living according to God's commandments, that person can be used by Satan, and that's pretty scary. And, you know, when I was a little girl, Vanessa, I thought that the Antichrist would be obvious, that everyone would know who he was, you know, because
it would be obvious.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it'd be obvious he was evil, you know. But that's not the way Satan works. You know, he doesn't show his true colors. He tricks us into believing something's good for us. Or
he doesn't exist. Or he doesn't exist, right? That's another trick.
He doesn't even exist, exactly. But, you know, there are things that we think are fun or beautiful or whatever. And a lot of times he uses those things. Like, for example, make sex. You know, sex is good and beautiful between a husband and a wife. But he uses that to lure people into, you know, having sex outside of marriage, which, of course, is fornication and a mortal sin. And it can lead them to hell, you know, if they don't repent. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, that is very prevalent today. People don't believe that's a sin anymore. And then when St. Paul says that those who perish because they refuse to love the truth, you know, he doesn't mean that they just don't, but that they're condemned to hell. And he goes on to say that God, you know, sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false so that all may be condemned who didn't believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I just want to clarify, that sounds terrible. I need to clarify that. I'm not saying that because of their unbelief that and the rejection of truth that he allows them to, you know, that he condemns them or he tricks them or whatever. God's just allowing them, because they turned away from him, he allows them, because of their free will, he allows them to just wallow in their sin, you know. He's just basically saying, okay, you know, I've given you all these ways to repent, but you have refused. And so, you know, this is your choice, and I'm not going to interfere with your free will that I've given you. Yeah. So they, you know, St. Paul says they find pleasure in unrighteousness, and God won't take away our free will, as I said. But, you know, once one chooses evil over good, God allows them to continue in their ways.
Yeah.
And hopefully many of them will repent and come back to God. And but sin blinds people, just like the Pharisees, you know, in the New Testament. Because of their pridefulness, they were blinded to the truth. And, you know, the Bible tells us that that pride comes before the fall. So anyway, speaking of himself, St. Paul, Jesus said, you know, light comes into the world, but people love the darkness instead of light, and their deeds were evil. So and everyone who does evil hates the light. So, you know, sadly, you know, many today have turned away from the truth. It's just really sad. I mean, we just have to pray for all those who don't know Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you will know the truth, then the truth will set you free. And as our pastor said yesterday, we need to spread the truth. We need to tell other people about Jesus. There's so many people lost today.
Yeah, in our wounds. You know, the sad thing, too, is, Gal, the devil infiltrates us through our wounds, too. And that's why healing is so important. And then you're blinded to truth, right? He works on us through our wounds.
Yes, he knows all the buttons to push. He knows that our wounds, you know, if we have a broken family life or anything like that, he pursues that. Or if we're angry at someone, he will take advantage of that. And so we have to pray and ask God to help us, you know, to not be, you know, taken in by Satan, because he will use all the tricks in his bag, and he has a lot of them.
Yeah. You know, I that's my daily surrender too, Gal. And that's what I love about your scripture verses of the week, because we can really meditate on them where the Lord speaks to us through those, through our own troubles that we're facing, you know? And so when someone does hurt us, and it is offensive, and I've been through that, I have to intentionally surrender saying, God, I'm not taking this on. I'm living it to you.
Yes, absolutely. We just turn to God. And I don't know. It really saddens me, Vanessa, to see so many people that are so angry and hateful. You know, this Trump derangement syndrome. There's so many people that hate him and will do anything and against him. Or, you know, there's so many people that are angry and screaming and yelling. And it's just so sad to see that. You know, I just can't stand to watch it on television. But all we can do is pray. And for those that are close to us that feel that way, is that we can try to tell them about Jesus and talk to them about Jesus. They might turn away from us, but hopefully we plant a seed that will develop later, and they will come to know him and follow him.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all we can do. And that's what you're doing every week, Gal. You're planting seeds through scripture verse. Thank you for being with us. God bless you and all that you do. Stay with us, everyone. We got to wrap up. This hour here on Catholic Connection. Don't go away. Thank all of our guests for joining us here this hour on Catholic Connection. Matt Swaim, Director of Outreach with Journey Home and co-host of the Sunrise Morning Show, sharing with us a little bit of Grant Adams' story, tonight's guest on the Journey Home. You want to catch that, and it's also on EWTN On Demand. These are great ways to evangelize the faith, and maybe during this Lenten season, part of what you're doing, giving up your cell phones, as we just talked with Matt Paoli about, we could watch more EWTN and Catholic programming as part of our Lenten season. And to have these discussions with our friends, especially these wonderful conversion stories. So thank you so much, Matt Swaim, for sharing that with us. And Matt Paolelli is with us, Vice President of Marketing for Real Life Catholic, sharing with us Chris Stefanik's Lenten Challenge, Real Life Catholic's Lenten Phone Fast Challenge. We all could participate by going to reallifecatholic.com/Lent. And this is a great opportunity for the family, for schools. If you're a school administrator, a religious ed teacher, this is a great way to get all these teenagers involved in this Phone Fast Challenge. And then you can have an assessment after, you know, and see what difference it made in their lives. Make it a fun school project. I think this is a wonderful opportunity and would make for great discussions. Join us on EWTN Radio Extra. We will be there. I'll have my coach's commentary talking about the Good News Cruise. Father Joseph Mary Wolf will also be with us talking about the Lenten meditation. Don't go away. Join us on EWTN Radio Extra.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world.
Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
By his wounds you have been healed. We read that in Scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. Each week during the holy season, EWTN will consider the different types of healing that we find in Jesus. Join Father Joseph Mary Wolf this Lent for a journey of healing. And that's what we're going to be talking about here this morning on Catholic Connection as he joins us to talk about this Lenten season. In this Lenten meditation series, I have already downloaded the PDF version and the flip version of this Lenten series. I love the fact that EWTN gives you different options to get these books that they offer. And so I'm going to be doing this with my sisters. We have a weekly prayer group that we do on Zoom every week. My sisters and I have six sisters. We pray together on Friday mornings. We kind of took a little bit of a hiatus on this. I don't know why. I was out to dinner with my sister the other day. Life got busy. And my sister goes, I haven't talked to you guys. I really miss you. This is kind of crazy. And I said, yes, we're going to get back into our weekly Friday prayers. And I'm going to use this Father Joseph Mary Wolf Lenten meditation series as part of my sister's weekly prayer. So we'll be talking with him about that. Again, you can, if you don't already get EWTN newsletters, please go to the website and register for them because they share a wealth of information. And that's where I get all these wonderful free downloadable books, including the 2026 Lenten meditation that they're offering all of us. And like I said, you can get it in a PDF, you can get it in a printable PDF, you can get it in a flip version. So week by week, Father's going to walk through the Lenten season with us through these meditations. And we're going to be starting Ash Wednesday, February 18th, and we're going to be going through specific readings. So we'll go through the first reading of Joel, then responsorial psalm, the second reading of 2 Corinthians, and the gospel reading in Matthew. And then we're going to be meditating on this. And I love meditative type of prayers, and including Lectio Divina type of prayers. In fact, I had a pretty profound epiphany moment on the Good News Cruise, praying through Lectio Divina. And I'm going to talk about that in my coach's commentary, along with other things that went on during the cruise. This wonderful apostolate that corporate travel has really created. They are not just a business. They are truly an apostolate, bringing people to Jesus Christ through all these wonderful conferences and pilgrimages that they have created for all of us. It was an incredible experience. It was my first Good News Cruise. I feel truly blessed that I was invited to host my show, Epiphany, to participate with Teresa on her show, Catholic Connection, to be part of her talks on the cruise. She was part of my talks on the cruise. It was a wonderful, wonderful journey. And I feel truly blessed to have been part of it. So I'll be talking about that in my coach's commentary. So EWTN had a major presence there. I was so happy to be part of it. Teresa was there, and John Hale, David DeFranco, and that whole corporate travel team was amazing. I was able to host my show Epiphany on our Ave Maria radio affiliate. We had wonderful speakers as well. It was incredible. It was just incredible. So I'll talk about that and the fruits that came out of the Good News Cruise for me and my coach's commentary, and what we could take from these conferences, because I know there's many fruits that are going to continue to come weeks, months, and years after the Good News Cruise for me. I'm really meditating and praying on what I took away from that experience. So I'll talk about that in my coach's commentary as well. We are approaching 5 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection, and now it's time for the news on EWTN. After weeks of dry, warm weather, California is preparing for a barrage of storms. Michael Kastner has that story.
From Redding to Los Angeles, the West Coast will see rain and snow, creating dangerous travel conditions and a high possibility of flooding. The Sierra is expected to get several feet of snow through Thursday, while multiple inches of rain will fall in Southern California. Three different storm cells are expected to roll through the state. The second batch will roll into the Pacific Northwest by Monday night, and a third round is expected Thursday, focusing more on the southern half of the state. In Los Angeles, I'm Michael Kastner.
Senate Democrats have rejected a House-passed bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security. Michael Kastner continues here with us with that report.
The motion failed to advance by a vote of 52 to 47 on Thursday. Democrats blocked the motion, saying it didn't go far enough to reform immigration enforcement operations after the fatal shootings of two protesters in Minneapolis last month by federal agents. Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar.
I'm glad that there's negotiations going on, but at this point for me, this idea that we're going to continue to fund them at this level after what they've done to my state, that's not in the cards for me.
I'm Michael Kastner.
Parts of the federal government are shut down for the week as Congress takes a 10-day recess and travelers could soon feel it at airport security checkpoints. TSA union leader for agents in Northern California, Andrew Cardosa, says it's not right. They are expected to work without pay once again just months after the last shutdown.
People's lives and livelihoods are being played with here. People are just feeling defeated. I mean, this is not something that we should even have to face, you know, especially because ultimately, you know, this has nothing to do with us.
Funding for the Department of Homeland Security was allowed to expire early Saturday over a dispute tied to immigration enforcement restrictions. Agencies under the DHS umbrella add up to 13% of all civilian federal employees. Disaster relief funding could also be affected. Andrew Cardosa, who also works at the Oakland Airport, says many TSA agents are still recovering financially from the last shutdown, and he's worried about how long they can keep showing up this time.
For me, eventually, it's going to come down to, do I put gas in the car to go to work for free, or do I put food on the table with that money for my kids? And I know which one I'm going to pick. It's going to be the kids.
Ave Maria University, a Catholic liberal arts university in Florida, is opening a new campus at a former monastery in rural Ireland, according to an announcement on its website. The new campus will be County Waterford in the southern region of Ireland at the former monastery of Mount Mallory near Capacokan. The university announced in a video, and this on EWTN News. The abbey closed in January 2025 after almost two centuries. The video announcement pledged that the new campus would be a fully integrated Ave Maria University experience, now embedded in the rich Catholic and cultural heritage of Europe. EWTN News reports that Bonnie Engstrom, the mother whose son was healed through the intercession of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, says she laughed out loud with joy when she learned Sheen's beatification is moving forward. The Diocese of Peoria announced that on February 9th, the Holy See informed Bishop Luis Tilca that Sheen's cause may now proceed. The approved miracle involves Engstrom's son, James Fulton, who was stillborn on September 16, 2010, after a healthy pregnancy. Engstrom says she called on Sheen repeatedly on doctors' work to revive the baby. James had no pulse for more than 60 minutes until she, as medical staff, prepared to declare his death. His heart began beating on its own. James is now a high school freshman and doing great, Engstrom told EWTN News in depth. Early scans showed severe brain damage, but follow-up imaging was completely clear. After years of delay, Engstrom says the family is so excited to see Sheen's beatification back on track, calling it an honor and a joyful thing. The UK is considering a ban on social media for children younger than 16 as it works to crack down on harmful content. Rowan Ferguson of the Molly Rose Foundation, which focuses on suicide prevention, believes current law doesn't go far enough to protect children.
The Online Safety Act is a landmark piece of legislation, and it remains, you know, an excellent foundation for protecting our children. But unfortunately, it's just not working as intended.
Britain's 2023 Online Safety Act is viewed as one of the strictest internet safety laws in the world, but it doesn't cover one-on-one interactions with AI chatbots. A new law would close that loophole. The UK isn't alone in looking to strengthen online protections for young people. Australia has become the first country in the world to ban social media for children younger than 16. Greece, Spain, and Slovenia are looking at similar legislations. Ferguson says current law doesn't go far enough to protect kids and teens.
Our view is that the implementation of the act is unambitious. It's sort of stacked in favor of industry, of big tech, rather than the needs of children.
Ferguson says he believes the Online Safety Act does not push platforms to do more to protect children.
There are quick legislative amendments we can make to address those constraints and make it much more powerful. And then further down the line, we can introduce new legislation that completely transforms the power of the act as well.
New York City super speeders are racking up millions of dollars in speed camera tickets. Natalie Migliori reports.
Transportation Alternatives and Families for Safe Streets have taken a look at the data, which shows these so-called super speeders owe a total of $10 million in fines. The report shows 52% of violators drive luxury vehicles, with a 2022 BMW X5 already paying more than $70,000 in violations, while a 2024 Mercedes-Benz that's still on the road owes more than $93,000. However, the average super speeder has paid off more than $4,800 in fines. I'm Natalie Migliori, NBC News Radio.
Today is President's Day, a day set aside to honor past presidents with parades, attend historical events, and, of course, go shopping.
The National Retail Federation says President's Day is a top-tier holiday for specific high-ticket household items with Black Friday-type savings. They say look for deals on mattresses, furniture, appliances, and winter wear. The NRF says this is a consumer-driven event to boost sales and make room for spring merchandise, with the main reference to presidents in the seven pictured on our cash. I'm Bree Tennis.
A Pokemon card has set the world record for the most expensive trading card ever sold at auction, going under the hammer at $16.5 million. That's the Pokemon. The Pikachu Illustrator card was one of around 40 made back in 1998 for a contest. It's the only one graded a 10, the highest condition rating, and also set a Guinness World Record when influencer and professional wrestler Logan Paul bought it 5 years ago for $5.2 million. Paul is expected to clear more than $8 million in profit after fees for auction house Golden. The card was sold inside a custom diamond-encrusted necklace Paul wore as part of his outfit for WrestleMania 38. Aurora's self-driving trucks can drive 1K in 15 hours. So, autonomous trucks are going the distance. Aurora Innovation announced this week that its line of driverless trucks can now travel a nonstop 1,000-mile route from Fort Worth, Texas to Phoenix, Arizona. The company says it takes about 15 hours to complete the trip, noting that it exceeds federal regulations for human drivers. They're allowed to drive 11 hours within a 14-hour period. Aurora says they expect to have over 200 driverless trucks on the road by the end of the year. Wall Street is opening lower after a key inflation report. The Labor Department reported the Consumer Price Index rose 2.4% on an annual basis. The slightly cooler than expected reading comes as a relief for investors after Thursday's sell-off. At the opening bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost about 100 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were also lower. We're approaching 14 minutes past the hour here on EWTN on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. Coming up next is my coach's commentary. So I'm just coming off the Good News Cruise. It was my first Good News Cruise. And I'm really grateful, of course, to Teresa Tamio. Because, you know, without her friendship, many years ago, I started praying a prayer. Lord, bring people in my life who will lead me in the direction you want me to go. And Jesus, you know, really, the Lord brought Teresa back in my life. We met as reporters here in Michigan, on the streets of Detroit, covering very similar stories. And we kind of like lost touch with each other for a little bit. And then she called me many years ago, more than 20 years ago, and she said, "Hey, V, I'm hosting a radio program on Catholic radio. Would you fill in for me when I go on vacation?" And I'm like, "There's Catholic radio?" I had no idea. And Jesus brought her back into my life. And she has been just an incredible support, a true sister in Christ, one of my besties in the world. And I'm so grateful for her friendship. And through that friendship, she's introduced me to so many incredible people. It's why I'm on Catholic Radio, why I have my own program on an affiliate here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Epiphany, my program that's heard every day on Ave Maria Radio, Monday through Friday. It's the reason I fill in for her. It's the reason I went on the Good News Crew. She introduced me to John Hale, who was gracious to invite me to host my program on the Good News Cruise and asked me to give a talk on the Job with Jesus, which is about a book I have coming out with Marian Press this year and how we take our faith to work with us. It's a segment. It came out of a segment on my program, Faith at Work Friday. Every Friday, I talk about how people take their faith to work with them every single day, because our faith should not be put in compartments. It should be weaved in every aspect of our lives. And it really starts with our relationship with God and how well we know Him, because if we don't know Him, we'll never know ourselves. And we have an identity crisis in the world. We don't know who we are, made in His likeness and image, and we don't know the talents and the gifts and the charisms He has given to us to go out there and bring people to Him. And so, you know, I'm truly grateful for her. Now, on the Good News Cruise was incredible. I mean, just absolutely incredible. I can't, it would take me forever to explain the experience, and I don't have that time. But what I want to do is share with you an epiphany moment I had on the cruise. Okay, and I'm not going to get into too much detail because some of the stuff going on is just not something I want to divulge. But there was a little bit of kind of chaos going on behind the scenes for me personally, nothing to do with the cruise. It was my own, it's something going on, my own little circle. The cruise was incredible. Corporate travel, impeccable. What an amazing team of people. If you've never been on pilgrimage with corporate travel, if you've never been on the Good News Cruise, please take it to prayer. Ask the Lord to show you how to go on pilgrimage with them. They're an incredible business team. It's truly an apostolate, and I'm so grateful. But so there was some kind of craziness going on. Part of it was my own, you know, own insecurity, really, because here I am being asked to give a talk on the Good News Cruise. And think about who's on this cruise, okay? We've got Andre Bocelli. We've got Jonathan Rumi. We've got Matt Maher. We've got Father John Ricardo. We've got Teresa Tamio. We've got Father Leo Padalinghug. We've got Father Joseph Krupp. And that's another story. A lot of people have mistaken my husband for Father Joe Krupp. I posted on social media. You got to see it. Go to my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denhagarmo, Facebook page. People were literally going up to my husband, asking him for confession, to pray for them. It was really hysterical. And I said, Father, please don't give him your collar, because he will go with it. You know, please, you know. So all these amazing speakers, and I'm thinking, you know, this imposter syndrome when the devil really tries to get to you. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Like, why am I even here? And will anybody even come to my talks? And I remember saying, T, like, I don't even, like, are people going to come hear me? Like, I'm not this nationally known speaker. You know, I don't have a nationally syndicated program. I mean, people know me from the radio work I do, my coaching work, but on a national level, you know, do I have that national platform? And so it, you know, I was a little nervous about that. And T's like, V, don't worry about it. Like, you know, chill out, you're fine. And she was so gracious to invite me to her talks that were before mine. So I spoke on Thursday and Friday. T had talks every single day. T, this is how gracious she is. This is what a true friend this woman is. And not only is, you know, she's the queen of the cruise, you know, she is just a gracious sister in Christ. And so she invited me to come to all her talks and to kind of talk about what I'm going to be talking about on the cruise. So I was truly grateful for that. And I remember sitting in their Lectio Divina prayers, and Father Mark Livingston, who I actually met at the airport before we even went to Florida, was doing Lectio Divina on the last day of my Lectio Divina. I did it for 3 days of the week that we were there. I wish I had done it all week, but I did it for the last 3 days. And God really spoke to me in that Lectio Divina, because the first one was the prayer, we're reading the gospel in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, where we hear about even the dogs eat the scraps, right? Even the woman says to Jesus, the Canaanite woman, Gentile woman, says to Jesus to heal her her daughter. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said to Jesus, well, even the dogs eat the scraps. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I'll take the scraps. I'll take, you know, Father John Ricardo scraps. And I'll take Father Mike Schmidt scraps. And I'll take Teresa Tamio scraps. And I'll take Father Petaling Hunk scraps. Whatever is left for me, I am truly grateful for, Lord. Whoever shows up, I'm fine with. And then the next day, we read the Gospel of Mark and about Jesus healing a deaf man with a speech impediment by taking him aside, putting his fingers in his ears, touching his tongue with his saliva, looking to the heaven and commanding in Aramaic, my language, my native language. So God was really speaking to me. Ephphatha, which means be opened. Immediately the man's ears were opened and he spoke clearly. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to hear? And what do you want me to say? What are you telling me in this Bible verse? What? Open my ears to your truth and let me speak the words you know other people to hear. So Lord, I'll take the scraps. I'm opening up my ears to hear your word and I'm going to speak truth in your name. And I'm going to speak the words you want people, whoever attends, will hear. And the final Bible verse was not the gospel. Father Mark Livingston, who's actually did not have us read the gospel verse. He had us read something else in scripture. And it was all about humility. It was all about being humble. And I thought, okay, God, you're telling me humble myself. It's not about me. It was never about me. It's not about my ego and my need to have the room filled. It's about you. And so I needed to, and then I reversed it. I got it. Humble yourself. Open your ears, Vanessa, and accept whatever God gives you. And I shared that on that day when Father Mark asked any of us if we wanted to share what came to us in this prayer, in the Lectio Divina prayer. And I told Father Mark and the people that were there that it was really a culmination of the last 3 days, that message. I had an epiphany moment. God was saying to me, Vanessa, humble yourself. It's not about you. We get so caught up in ourselves and our performance when we're public speakers, professionals. We're on the air. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's his ministry. Right? And open up our ears and hear what he has to say to us and speak truth in his name. He opens our ears. He allows us to speak truth. And finally, accept whatever he gives you, whether it be one person who shows up or 1,000. It's what God wants. It's who he wants there. And so that was such a profound epiphany that came, one of the many fruits that I did not expect that came out of the Good News Cruise. Now, everything else was incredible. I don't know how corporate travel will top it, and I don't think they even should try to top it. They don't have to. They have created such an incredible brand in this Good News Cruise, and it's not about the ship or the stops or the ports. It's about the conference. It's about how the Lord is helping us grow in our faith, the people we meet, the incredible couples. I'll tell you, I did an impromptu, you know, poll. I asked people all over, where did you hear about the cruise? What did you learn from the cruise? What do you like about the cruise? I have to say, Teresa Tamio is truly the queen of the cruise, and Father Joe Krupp was the comedian of the cruise. Okay, we ran out of time. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Lenten meditation with Father. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Wednesday's Ask Wednesday, we're heading into Lenten season, and to talk with us about the 2026 Lenten Meditation Series with EWTN is our next guest. Father Joseph Mary Wolf is with us here today. Father, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you, Vanessa.
So we're ready, heading into the Lenten season. So kind of give us an overview, Father Joseph, of this Lenten Meditation Series that EU and EWTN has put together for all of us.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of some of the things that Mother Angelica used to say about this network being built. Even if it was benefiting one soul, it was all worth it because one soul has this, you know, infinite value. And yeah. So she would say that she didn't always know what she was going to say on the live shows when it began. But when that red tally light came on, she said she tried to think of the hurting, needy person and speak to that person. And she always had something to say. And I kind of took that to heart in these Lenten meditations. And so the very first Sunday of Lent, we have temptation as a theme and the fall of our first parents. We're all broken, right? Yeah. We have not received the inheritance that we ought to have received if our first parents had not fallen. But they did, and humanity is united as one body, so we have experienced and do experience that deprivation that we might have inherited. And so how are we healed from that deprivation? So my theme for the Lenten meditations is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, by his wounds you have been healed. And Peter goes on to say that he says that you have returned to the guardian and shepherd of your souls. That's how we are healed, by returning to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, Jesus. And it's by his wounds that we find healing, we find restoration, we find life. And so I talk about in these Lenten meditations for each Sunday of Lent, including Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, I talk about different aspects of healing. And, you know, one of the first ones would be conversion brings us healing, because sin makes us miserable. It really does.
Yeah.
You know, there's never any positive value to sin. It always makes us miserable. It always lessens us in some way. But God and Jesus and his wounds is about restoration.
So through his wounds, our own wounds are healed.
Yes, yes. And you know, one of the things that we could think about, so we want to do these different practices during Lent, right, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Well, what would be one of the prayer practices that is often prayed during Lent? Here we have public Stations of the Cross on Good Friday, which is something that really sprang from a Franciscan, St. Leonard of Port Maurice. He set them up in 571 places, including the Colosseum in Rome, where the popes of recent times have had the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. And he said something quite remarkable on that day when he set up those Stations of the Cross, how it brings us healing when we meditate on the wounds of Christ. Here's what he said that day. He said, "Try it when sad thoughts trouble you and dark days are upon you. Pass over the way of the cross, and lo, the clouds will fade quickly away and the clear sky will shine upon you. Try it for yourself, and you will see how your heart will change." Because suffering brings, you know, these are my words, suffering brings us a certain fear and despair. And sometimes people just want to end the pain. But making the Station of the Cross actually brings us healing as we reflect on the sufferings of Christ.
You know, and Father, I'm thinking about how the enemy uses our wounds, right? And if we don't find healing through Jesus Christ, his wounds healing our wounds, he works on us in that way. And how can we kind of meditate on that, on our own healing process through this Lenten season?
Yeah, and the second Sunday of Lent, or actually the first one, we have the temptations, right? The tempter. And so his temptations, Jesus speaks of the tempter as a liar from the beginning. He's a father of lies. He speaks by his own nature. So to realize that temptation is really a big fat lie. It's saying, as our first parents believed that temptation, that somehow they were being deprived by God. He didn't have their best interests in mind, that they could have something better if they put themselves in God's place, our first parents. And of course, the opposite was true, that God only desires our good. He always desires our good. And even when we are going through different sufferings, often we will look back later and you say, you know, that suffering really helped me to be more compassionate to others and their sufferings. or that suffering helped me to look to God. You know, one time, one of our employees said, you know, I have a friend out in California, and he's dying of brain cancer, and he's been away from the church for 30 years. He said, could you give him a call? So I said, sure. So I gave him a call, and this man said to me, you know, he said, sometimes we don't look up until we're flat on our backs, you know? And so that's the truth, that suffering sometimes makes us realize I'm limited. This life is passing. I need to look up to God.
Yeah. And Father, can you kind of give us an overview of what this meditation entails? I know you're walking us through the weeks. You have, so we go to the website, there's a couple of videos. You also have an ebook. So kind of give us an overview of what we will experience in this meditation.
Yes, so you can get the text and you can watch the videos if you go to ewtn.com/Lent. And so beginning on Ash Wednesday, they will send a video. So it's just a little two-minute video of me giving a meditation for Ash Wednesday, for example. But then each Sunday of Lent has its own particular meditation based on the scripture readings up and through Easter Sunday itself. And so these are just short meditations on the readings of that day. And as you said, you know, the Word of God is powerful. And Pope Leo, in his message for Lent, he talked about this reality. He said that conversion comes about, you know, by our encounter with the Word of God and allowing that Word of God to touch our hearts. So this season of Lent is leading us through salvation history, the history of God's working in humanity throughout all of time, throughout human history. And it has its power. You know, it said the Word of God is one book that you will read in which the author is present when you read it, you know? And so God is speaking to our hearts through His Word. He's transforming us. He's touching our hearts. He's calling us higher. And you know, that's a good thing, to be called higher than where we are. The gospel is demanding of us because it's calling us to the fullness of life. And some things I haven't achieved, you know, many things, right? But it's good to be called higher because the Lord's bringing us there through His grace.
Amen. We're going to continue our conversation here with Father Joseph Mary Wolf on the 2026 Lenten Meditation with EWTN. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. And we're back here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. I got to start saying my name slower. I can't tell you how many people in the Good News crew said, I always wondered what your name looked like at the, like Denha Garmo. Is it one word? So it's Vanessa Denha Garmo. Father Joseph, I was just thinking as I was thinking about the 2026 Lenten meditation, as we head into the Lenten meditation, should we take with us what weighs heaviest on our heart?
Well, Jesus told us to, right? Because He said, come to Me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. And so He doesn't tell us, go here, go there. He says, come to Me. And so, yes, obviously, yes, we definitely need to follow His words, and I will refresh you. You see, there's always this refreshment that comes from this encounter with the Lord, and we encounter Him in His Word, as I mentioned last time, but also in His Eucharistic presence. You know, this whole network has been built on Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which we continue every day. And our employees benefit by the fact that they can go anytime to the chapel during the workday, and there our Lord is waiting for them. And He does refresh us. I've experienced that myself so many times. You know, when you kind of are at the end of your rope, you're kind of beat down by life or disappointments, He's there. And He does refresh us, and He does renew us. So yes, and is meditating on His Word, he does to speak to us and lift us up and encourage us with his truth.
Mm-hmm. And Father, for people who struggle with prayer in general, and really don't know what it even means to meditate, what would you say to them?
Well, I think it's really quite simple. You know, if you don't know how to pray, pray and ask the Lord to give you gifts of prayer. Just speak to the Lord naturally from your heart. These formal prayers are good and necessary. We pray as a community, our rosary and our divine office, and that's always very helpful, encountering God's word, meditating on the mysteries of our Lord's life. But there needs to be that just personal prayer, heart to heart, that Teresa of Avila spoke of, that for her, this was prayer, just a friendly conversation with God, whom we know loves us. So that's where it begins. And what did the apostles say to Jesus? Teach us how to pray. So we can say the same thing. But I think a very simple way to do the Lectio Divina, choose a gospel passage, maybe one of the favorite ones that you have, that you love to hear, and read that passage slowly, prayerfully. You know, there was a bishop here from Tamil, India one time, and he had a Bible study with young people. And I loved what he said to do as you're preparing to meditate on God's word. He said, first, use the words of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then at the end of your meditation, "Let it be done to me according to your word," Mary's words. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's just a beautiful way to both open up our meditating on God's word and concluding it, that we're going to put it into practice. But then just slowly read that particular gospel event and maybe read it a second time or even a third time slowly. And there's going to be something there that strikes your heart, that touches your heart, that speaks to your life. And then talk to the Lord about it. Lord, like maybe it's you're reading about the blind man. So we have this reading on the fourth Sunday of Lent. But there's another blind man too, where he says, he's calling out to Jesus, "Have pity on me." And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And maybe we're reading that passage and we hear the Lord say, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" "Well, Lord, I have this going on. I have that going on. I need your help. I need your blessing. I need your help. Go away. Your faith has saved you." You know? So That's a beautiful way that we put ourselves in that scene where that blind person seeking his healing, his help, and he comes to our assistance.
Yeah, I love that. And I was just saying, Father, I have my sisters and I, for a long time, we're praying every Friday morning together via virtually, you know, and we kind of stopped for a while. My older sister said, "I really miss you guys. We were out to dinner. I haven't talked to you guys in a while." And I said, "We got to get back to our weekly prayers." And I felt the Lord like say, "Use this meditation as part of your weekly prayer with your sisters during this Lenten season." What's your thought of us doing this together as a family or a community group or a Bible study and make this part of our weekly prayer?
Definitely, I think, because again, we're all in need of healing in a variety of ways. And so each Sunday, each meditation, I talk about a different type of healing that we're in need of. Well, what's, you know, that one of the deepest needs we have is healing from sin, as I mentioned. But we also need physical healing, and that's something we can pray for too on the fourth Sunday of Lent, for example, when the blind man is healed. And I mentioned there that Dr. Mary Healy, who's one of my favorite scripture scholars, that she said, astoundingly, 21% of the Gospels writings have to do with the Lord healing people or delivering them from Satan and evil spirits. 21%. And so the Lord came to bring us healing. And there's just a variety of ways, of course, physical healing as well. Fear and despair, as I mentioned too, and the Stations of the Cross helps us to see that our sufferings are not meaningless or useless. And so, yes, I think they can very well be used as a kind of a starting point for a conversation. You know, what are ways that you need healing? Or what are the ways that we could pray for each other in this time of prayer together for healing? You know, one of the other things, too, that we can think about is that on our state of life, when Pope Paul VI, now St. Paul VI, when he talked about penance, he wrote actually a letter about penance. The very first thing that he mentions in that letter is the duties of our state in life. And so carrying on these duties of our state in life. And so I mentioned there's a daily cross that we all have. And this is the most important penance that we could ever offer, offering these responsibilities that we have that kind of weigh on us. Even St. Paul spoke about the daily anxiety he had for all of the churches. Well, this is the most important one. If we could offer this cheerfully, lovingly, doing those things is the most important penance that we can offer, the daily cross of our state in life. Well, what are some examples? Going to sometimes unsatisfying work for one's family. You know, one of my uncles who was very dear to me, he worked at John Deere in Dubuque, Iowa. So they have a factory there. And that wasn't an always easy place to work. In fact, he had got injured a couple of times through the equipment that he was working on there. But day after day, he would go to the grind, if you will, and he would do this factory work. And it was something that helped his family. Well, that was a penance, right? It was dying to himself. And he was really quite a remarkable baseball player. And so he could have actually perhaps played pro baseball. But when he had the opportunity to go and to try out, he decided against it. He said, no, he wanted to be married and have a family. That was what was most important to him. So that was the kind of man he was, but he proved it too through his going to work and the daily grind, the state of his day, the duties of his state in life, and offering that. For you mothers, or all you parents, helping your children for the umpteenth time with patient love and a smile, even when you're tired or upset, you know, as sometimes can happen. Little ones are a joy, but I know also they can try your patience, you know, being a child myself and trying my parents' patience. So, but that you're not yielding to just your frustration and anger in the moment, but kind of taking a deep breath, looking up to heaven for the graces that you need, and with a smile and a parental love that you're expressing once again. That's a penance. You know, Mother Angelica, for her, one of the most important penances or mortifications we can do is that interior mortification. So not just lashing out, you know, when we're frustrated or anger, but just dying to ourselves interiorly, living that humility. You know, St. Francis, he said that no brother should come to you seeking forgiveness and not see mercy in your eyes. So that's the way we want to look toward one another. And this was something, too, that Pope Leo really brought to the fore in his meditation for Lent this year, that he said, you know, one of the ways that we can fast, of course, we do have these denial of ourselves of things that we might be eating that we enjoy to order our appetites. But he said an often unappreciated form of abstinence is refraining from words that offend and hurt our neighbor. And I like this phrase that he said, disarming our language, disarming our language. So to think about that, as a religious or priest, rising early again.
Go ahead, Father.
So the final one is, you know, for a religious or a priest, we're getting up early for the morning prayers again, but we're offering praise to God, we're interceding for others, and this is a penance of our state of life, and that's the most important one.
Yeah. We're talking with Father Joseph Barry Wolf here. It is the Lenten 2026 Lenten meditation, and we're heading into Ash Wednesday, and I know, Father, there are people listening right now that are still trying to figure out what the Lord is calling them to do during the Lenten season. You know, do I give up, you know, chocolate? Do I give up my cell phone after, you know, 6 o'clock? Do I go to Stations of the Cross every Friday? As we head into this meditation with you, starting on Ash Wednesday, how do we take that to pray and really hear the Lord's voice sharing with us what He wants us to do during this Lenten season?
That's a great question, and I was actually praying about that this morning, you know, before the show, making my holy hour and asking the Lord, what would you like me to offer you, you know, during this season of Lent? And I think for each of us to do at least one thing for prayer, one thing for almsgiving, one thing for fasting. Of course, we can do more than that.
I love it.
So, for example, prayer. Maybe there's a regular prayer you want to add a prayer like the Stations of the Cross. It's a beautiful meditation on our Lord's sufferings that can be very helpful. But maybe there's other prayers you want to do. Almsgiving. Why don't you spend a day working at a soup kitchen or making sandwiches and just, when you see the homeless, hand them out to the homeless, cheerfully doing the duties of your state and life. Fasting. Yes, some self-denial, which really does bring us happiness. But as Pope Leo said, let us disarm our language. You know, that's going to be a fasting. That's going to be an abstinence during this season.
I love that. One of these things, you know, sometimes we tend to overwhelm ourselves, Father, and then we don't do anything. We're like, I can't do it. It's just too much. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so I love that. You know, so you don't overwhelm yourself. I have a couple friend of ours who are on the Good News Cruise with us, Jeff and Afan Kastab, and they do marriage ministry, and they decided they're going to go to adoration 3 times a week as a couple together. And that.
Live radio. Sometimes you have technical issues, and we did. And I want to thank Father Joseph Mary Wolf for carrying us through those technical little glitches there, and Richard always being the stellar producer that he is. Thank you so much. Things are out of our control sometimes, and it happens. You got to be prepared with live radio. And thank you to Father Joseph Mary walking us through this EWTN Lenten meditation. I got so much out of that conversation. I was just really kind of praying and listening to the Lord's voice and telling me what I need to be doing this Lenten season. And I love that last part that Father said, do one thing in prayer, one thing in almsgiving, and one thing in fasting. And let's not overwhelm ourselves. Take that to prayer today before Ash Wednesday. Ask the Lord, what's the one prayer I should be doing? Should I be going Stations of the Cross every Friday? Should I be doing what my friends Jeff Kassab and Ahlam Kassab are going to do as marriage ministry, in their marriage ministry? They're going to go to adoration 3 times a week together as a couple. Right? What else should we be doing? And what should be, how we should be giving an almsgiving? Give a little extra at Mass. Maybe donate to a charity that the Lord's putting on our hearts, a ministry. So tomorrow, Best Lent Ever with Father Cedric Pestaña is going to be joining us. And Peter Carter, co-author of The Song of the Lamb, Sacred Music, and the Heavenly Liturgy, Newman Guide News with Kelly Solomon, and the Extra Hour as well. I'll be filling in for one more day this week for Teresa Tamio. Again, Vanessa Denhagarma with you here on Catholic Connection. Always a pleasure to be with all of you. Don't go away. There's more to come right here on EWTN.